you know you are capable of more, because you have a burning desire to get the absolute most out of your career and life, to starve your fears, to follow your dreams, and to realize your true potential. And we are going to do that together. This is the Own Your Career, Own Your Life podcast. Are you ready? Let's go.
Welcome to the Own Your Career podcast. I am your host, Andy Storch. And have you thought about starting a business? Are you in a place where maybe you're kind of unhappy in your career and you've been thinking about, I wonder what it'd be like to go into business for myself, or what kind of business should I start, or should I even consider becoming an entrepreneur? Or maybe you've got a side hustle and you're thinking about turning it full time, or you're just kind of a new entrepreneur and trying to figure out where do you go from here? Or maybe you're not interested in entrepreneurship at all, but you just kind of want to think about how would I set that up if I wanted to down the line, or maybe help friends who might be interested in entrepreneurship. Well, today's show is about how do you look at potentially leaving your career to start a business. And I'm not saying you need to do that. That's certainly what I did. I have become an entrepreneur over the last few years, and I absolutely love it. It is a lifestyle that I embrace and that I absolutely love. And I have learned that it is not for everyone. That's actually why I created this podcast and started my book, or wrote my book, Own Your Career, Own Your Life, to help people find a happier, fulfilling career working in corporate, working for other people without the need to go through all the stress of starting your own business. But if that's something you're interested in, then stay tuned, because I am sharing an interview that I did recently with Chris Michael Harris. And Chris is the founder of Startup U and host of the Startup U podcast. He has founded and bootstrapped and scaled multiple startups to 7+ figures in his mid to late 20s in both the on and offline space. Chris excels in taking concepts from idea stage to traction and growth in extremely rapid succession. In addition to being involved with several exciting endeavors ranging a variety of industries and serving as the entrepreneur in residence for Silicon Valley-based accelerator program Foundation Institute, Chris is also the host of Entrepreneur Hour, a podcast that has trended as high as top 5 worldwide on iTunes under business, health, and education. And Chris is really kind of an expert on how do you think about leaving your job to start a business and what's the process that you need to go through. So in this interview, he actually walks through that process. How do you determine if entrepreneurship is right for you? How do you figure out what kind of business to start? How do you research and analyze the market? How do you then take the next step? And we also talk about how do you find the right mentors and clients and build a network to help support you in building this business. And finally, we discuss how do you develop the right mindset to overcome adversity that's going to come up along the way. This is a great interview if you're thinking about starting a business or just curious about the idea. And by the way, I have started my own business. I am running a business now around this podcast, around my book. I have a community that I run for talent development professionals. I have speaking and a course I'm launching around this book. So I'm intimately familiar with all the things that come along with entrepreneurship. And I love this topic and always happy to talk more about it if you want to reach out and you have questions. And of course, if you're really interested in diving in and starting a business, check out the free course that Chris is offering. He gives a link at the end of this episode, but I'm also going to put a link. I think he's giving me an affiliate link I'm going to drop into the show notes. So if you are interested in signing up for his free course, use the link in the show notes and let me know how it goes. Right, without further ado, here's my interview with Chris Michael Harris about starting a new business. Hey, Chris, welcome to the show.
Andy, what's up, my man? How are you?
I'm fantastic. It's great to be talking with you again, because we did an interview for your show recently, and I've been eager to get you on here because I know you have a really interesting, unique story to share. And I think we're going to be able to share some tools and some things today for people that are trying to figure out kind of where they want to go in their careers, and also maybe thinking about starting a business, which I know you help a lot of people with. So I'm excited, and I thought maybe we could just start with your story, right? How did you get to where you are today? You know, what led you down this path?
Wow. So where to begin with that? I think the main common denominator, and I've seen this a lot, Andy, and I know you kind of share that sentiment as well, and maybe some others do that are listening or watching, will recognize this in themselves, but just always finding ways to make money outside the 9-to-5. Now, back when I was doing that, not that I'm, you know, ancient or anything, but it wasn't as entrepreneurship wasn't as mainstream as it is now, right? You didn't see it as a viable option. It was deemed to be extremely risky. Not that it's not now. I think that risk is somewhat mitigated in relation to what it used to be. But always finding things to be doing, whether that was mowing lawns in grade school. And, you know, when my friends are hanging out doing stuff, I'm making money, right? And I'm buying video games and, you know, doing all these things that my friends couldn't do unless their parents gave them allowance. And I had the freedoms to do those things because I was just finding ways to make money outside of your traditional hour for pay model. Got to high school, more of the same, actually generated over $10,000 between my junior and senior year, just doing grunt work, right? And one of them was a moving. It was a request from an elderly couple that had a bad experience with a move with a big, you know, box brand.
Yeah.
So that kind of stuck with me because I think that was like, I think I actually did with like 16,000 that summer between junior, senior year of high school, which is, I mean, substantial, right? For a bunch of high school kids.
Yeah.
And 8,000 came from that move. So I get to college and again, kicking stuff around, personal training, valeting cars. I mean, if there's a side hustle, a list of side hustles, I've probably done 90% of them, right? Just always finding ways to make
money. Can I interrupt you and ask you a question about that?
Please.
You know, does this draw towards entrepreneurship where you're hustling and picking up all these different jobs? Do you feel like that was instilled in you by your parents? Were there other entrepreneurs in your family? Or was this something that you just kind of like came out of nowhere and it was just unique to you?
So yes and no. Yes, in a sense of my father was an outside salesman. And so there was a lot of freedom in his schedule. However, I was always kind of deemed as the a little bit on the fringe in relation to other members of my family. Like it was, you got to get a job. So again, it was more of a cultural thing and that would not necessarily exclude my family as well. But I did have other influences later on that were more of true entrepreneurs that I kind of, it validated the way that I already felt. So I can't say that I was just inherently that way. I think I do have a propensity. I do think there are people that have a propensity for entrepreneurship. Yes. I always say it's a lifestyle, not a career.
Yeah.
But most of us don't give ourselves permission to pursue it until we see someone else that's doing it successfully that we can kind of model or fall down that path, which is why it's become mainstream because of social media. Because now every day you turn on social media and you're seeing people successful in entrepreneurship. And I think it's given us a lot of validation to recognize who we are and to go in full pursuit of that.
Yeah, it's like classic nature versus nurture. And I think it can be both. And, you know, for me, I found later in life that I was extremely drawn towards entrepreneurship. And I think there were signs of that for me early on in middle school, high school. I used to do a few of the things like you talked about. Right. There were no entrepreneurs in my family.
Right.
No exposure. I didn't even know what that was. I didn't even know that it was a possibility you could like run your own business. It was just, you need to get a job, right?
You need it.
So it's interesting that you still pursue that heavy. So you've got into college and you're starting to do all these different things. Where do they go from there?
Yeah. So they were all just side hustles, man. It was just make money because I'm looking at working at burrito joints, which I did have a job at an actual burrito joint. That's a real story. And I'm like, I could do this side hustle and make more than I'm making like a day and a half working full time at that burrito joint. Like, why would I not pursue? So it was always just coming up with things like that.
Yeah.
College, right? Continuing down that college path, saw that there were some students in this building that I lived in, peers that happened to be female. So obviously opportunity to talk to the opposite sex, which being young and single in college, you always find those opportunities to do so. And we help them. Mom tips us $50 a pop, my brother and myself. And we're like, that's good. Let's go talk to the lease office manager, present a little flyer, see if other people in the building can help. Well, we ended up moving like 30% of that building within the next, you know, 45 days or so. Did really, really well. My brother and his roommate continued that the next summer. I'm now graduated, had an outside sales job, kind of falling down my father's footsteps, coming back on weekends to help them. Eventually realizing and feeling that inflection of like, I know this is not what I'm supposed to do. Like even the freedoms of outside sales, it still just wasn't enough. I still longed, something was pulling me back towards a business, whether it was moving or whatever, just something. Finally gave into that, pursued it. And then within the next 36 months thereafter, we grew to a multi-million dollar company, which led to a lot of the stuff that I'm doing now, which is teaching other people how to do the same via our paid or our free content.
Yeah. Well, I want to hear more of that story of, you know, that business and how you built it and then get into how do we help people figure out what they want to do and whether it's a building business or something else. So going back to that, you got into outside sales and you decided to start a business. Did that feel risky at the time? And can you tell me more about what that process looked
like? I wish it had felt riskier because, you know, I'm young and dumb at this point.
Right.
And I jumped into it. And this is something I help people with now is transitioning because I just pulled the plug on the job and just dove in head first. Now, fortunately, and this is a benefit, we already had 2 years, right? And I think that second summer when I was, you know, full-time job and my brother continued to do the service, I think they did like 23 or 24,000, don't call me specifically, but somewhere in that range, $23,000 or $25,000 over the whole summer.
Yeah.
Now serving multiple apartment communities in that same college town. So there was a proven model there. Like I knew I was walking into some potential revenue or I had established relationships, but even then it was just really, really tough to sustain growth of business, particularly a low margin business, in addition to supporting myself personally. And so I really understated that. And I really help people now establish, and we can get into that later now if you'd like, what that needs to look like to transition, because I say this, but the dream dies when the bank dries. And a lot of people have a really comfortable job and they have make great money. Yep. And the risk of leaving and risking it all, and I've seen this happen, and I'm sure you have too, Andy, but people that'll pour their entire life savings into this business venture, and next thing you know, it's gone, and it's gone real fast, within 8 to 9 months. And I've seen that often, unfortunately. It's heartbreaking. I hate to see it, but I see it all the time.
I had this experience. So in my early 20s, I moved across the country. I was in Los Angeles, and I got really interested in entrepreneurship. And I joined a couple startups and worked for these terrible bosses. And then I decided to start my own company with a friend that I met there. And what I think we didn't realize was that there wasn't really enough margin. It was a fun business, but there wasn't enough margin to sustain one of us, let alone both of us. And there also wasn't enough scale. And so that business ultimately failed. It was a fun business, but it wasn't making us enough money.
Sure. So we see that side of things where people do what I did. They jump into the deep end of the pool, and they don't check how deep it is before they jump. And I realized it was like 2 inches deep and dove head first. So pretty hard, right? Pretty hard realization pretty quickly. I was doing laundry in my bathtub. I was losing a ton of weight. I mean, because I couldn't afford food. I'm jogging in my office because I couldn't afford gas. I had a leaky tire in my car, and it was, I just kept putting air in it. And I couldn't afford a new tire. So a lot of people are like, why didn't you ask your parents? Well, because I left my job and my parents didn't agree with what I was doing. So the last thing I want to do is go back to parents and say, oh, I screwed up. Can you help me? So I took ownership and I said, I'm going to figure this out. Now, the good thing is when you put yourself in that pressure cooker, you're going to find out what you're made of pretty quickly. And I think that largely led to the growth that we experienced, because from year one full-time to year two, went from $48,000 to $500,000. I mean, that's unprecedented kind of growth, especially with no funding whatsoever. And then quickly thereafter to $1.2 million. So yes, I made it through the pressure cooker, but there were substantial consequences. The flip side of that that I see, so that's my path. The flip side that I see, and maybe this will resonate with a lot of people, is they're stuck in what I call professional learner mode. Right. So they have a job. They know they're not happy. They've tried other jobs. They've sought greener pastures. They kind of have been pulled by said business, whatever that business idea is, or maybe they already have something they're doing on the side. They're too afraid. It's always the next course or the next book that they haven't read yet to really allow them to take that plunge, to take that risk and make the transition. Right. They don't have the mechanics in place as far as how you do it. They don't have milestones or, you know, certain amount of money they need to save up. There's no budgeting in place. There's nothing, right? So they stay stuck. And the problem is when you're managing both of those at the same time, you're really stretching your bandwidth and you're making a lot of personal sacrifices. It's necessary either way, either one of those paths that I described, they're going to be sacrifices to make. The problem is when you stay in that state of overwhelm, that overwhelm eventually leads to burnout. And then you just say, well, I've got this great